And it is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Corner Pub downtown. GM out. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, is here with us today. Chris.
What's up, baby?
It's December.
It's cold.
And the Tennessee Titans are in first place in the AFC South after a dominating win on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. They're 8-3. First time they've been 8-3 since 2008. They started that season off 10-0 and ended up winning the AFC South. That was the last time, in fact, they did so. Today, it is a three-week period. The Titans were 6-3. They played the 6-3 Ravens. They won that game. Mm-hmm. They were 7-3 last week. They played the 7-3 Colts. They won that game. Today, they are 8-3. They host the 8-3 Cleveland Browns in what is somewhat of a showdown in December. Nobody saw this coming when the schedules came out. I have no idea why this isn't a bigger game nationally, but it is Titans Browns 8-3 at Nissan Stadium today.
Man, it's going to be a good game. And the one thing I want to see is which running game is going to establish itself early.
Yep.
And the thing that I love about this whole game is the Tennessee Titans have a balanced offense now. And if you look at last week when they played against the Colts at the halftime, they had 173 passes, they had 173 running. That's a balanced offense. When was the last time that we saw the Tennessee Titans have a balanced offense? It was either run or pass or inconsistency. They're playing at a high level. Derrick Henry's a dog. You got A.J. Brown that's looking good. I'm telling you, man, when you were talking about this off the air, when was the last time the Tennessee Titans were this good?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question.
I think you might have been on the team the last time the Titans were this good.
But they're playing good football, and it all starts with the quarterback. I mean, you got Tannehill playing at a high level. He might not have the numbers as a Rodgers or Wilson or something like that, but he's playing consistent football. When the game is on the line, he's always there to make the play. He's always there to put the team in position to make plays. So I'm excited what the Tennessee Titans are doing right now. But the thing about it is, if they do it today, then now I can crown them as maybe going to winning the AFC South.
So right now the Tennessee Titans have pretty good odds of winning the AFC South. They have 97% odds, according to the New York Times, of making the playoffs. A loss would only drop that to 95%.
Right.
And I think the interesting thing about today's game, certainly for the AFC South, it is important. I think the odds drop from 80% to win the South to 60% or 65% or somewhere around there. It's a 9-point drop in terms of winning the AFC South if they were to lose today. But I look at today's game as one of those how good are you going to be kind of games? Because, Chris, you've been on 13-3 teams.
Right.
You've been on 8-8 teams. You've been, I think, what did you say, the worst team you were on was 7-9?
7-9, yes.
So you haven't been on horrible teams.
Right.
But you've been on good teams. You've been on league average teams. When you're 9-7 4 years in a row, and not all the 9-7s were built the same. I think the first 9-7 team would have gotten waxed by last year's 9-7 team.
Yeah.
But they're not all built the same.
Yeah.
The question, though, is how good do you want to be? Do you want to be right now? The Titans have 8 wins. A win today would guarantee them their 5th straight winning season, which should not go unnoted because you know how hard it is to have a winning season in the NFL. But there's a difference between the 13-3 Tennessee Titans of 99 and 2000 that you were a part of and the 9-7 Titans that find their way into the playoffs and win a game here or there. And I feel like today's game is one of those ones where it's like, okay, are you going to be a 12-4 team?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be a 13-3 team? Or are you going to be a 10-6 team? Not to say 10-6 is bad, and we probably all would have taken 10-6 coming into the season, but what kind of team are you going to be? And winning these games where you play the Ravens, who have the same record as you, the Colts, who have the same record as you, the Browns, who have the same record as you, those are the ones you pick up. If you want to be a 12-4 team, you got to win those kind of games.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, Jared, is because when Mike Vrabel came in here, he gave that quote, and it drove you crazy. We got to go from being good to great. That drove you crazy.
Good to great.
But a team that goes from good to great is a team that beats the great teams. Who did they beat a couple of weeks before? They beat the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, handily. Then all of a sudden they got the Colts, and everybody's talking how, you know, they're going to lose to the Colts. They beat the Colts. So if you want to get to that level to 12-4 and being an elite team, you got to beat the elite teams. And just looking at the Tennessee Titans, they're playing good football now. I mean, they're playing good football on offense. They're playing good offense, better on special teams the last couple of weeks. I know they need to improve on defense, but if they can clean up a couple of things and clean up a couple of mistakes and execute on special teams, I'm telling you, man, this team can be a 12-4 team. And I'm not just saying it because they played good the last couple of weeks. But if they consistently keep playing like they're playing on offense and the defense just hangs in there, then now you're looking at a team from being just making it to the playoffs to being a contender, and that's a scary word.
And let's be honest. I think the last four-game stretch with Indianapolis, mm-hmm. Baltimore, Indianapolis, and Cleveland, I think that was your season-defining
True.
Stretch.
Yeah.
And while it would be great, I think we would have taken 2-2 and would have taken the way things played out. I think we would have settled for that. I think it's a big difference to go 3-1 yeah. over this four-game stretch than it would be to go 2-2. And that's what's on the line today for the Titans. Going back to how good do you want to be? These are playoff caliber teams.
I agree.
The Ravens are a playoff caliber team. The Ravens are playoff caliber. The Colts are certainly going to make the playoffs, and Cleveland's probably going to make the playoffs. And if you go 3-1 against those teams, yeah. I think that's a pretty good reflection in the mirror of what you are capable of doing.
Yeah, and you just have to be a consistent team. And this is the thing that I don't want to happen. You say, okay, we beat the Baltimore Ravens, we beat the Colts. Then all of a sudden we lose to the Browns and lose to the Lions. I mean, then are we back at square one? Or are we saying this team is a contender? And I'm being careful when I say contender. I know the Tennessee Titans have the potential, but we know potential is a bad word. But if the Tennessee Titans keep playing consistent football, it all goes back to playing consistent football. And if you look at the last couple of games before they went on the stretch by beating Baltimore and the Colts, what was Achilles heels? It was special teams. So what did they clean up? They cleaned up the special teams. They had no mistakes last week. They didn't have no missed field goals. I know they called timeout and it was all messed up in that situation. But if they can just keep doing what they're doing on offense, don't make mistakes on special teams. Tannehill keeps protecting the football. Keep running 22. Sky's the limit for this.
All I ask the defense and the special teams to do is just give Tannehill, Henry, and A.J. Brown a chance to win the game.
Right.
Just give those three guys a chance to win the game. One thing, though, I do want to hit on the top. This is not last year's Cleveland Browns.
No,
this is not the this is not the Cleveland Browns of the last 10 years. Now, if you look at the schedule and you look at who Cleveland's played, they have beaten all bad teams with the exception of Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Indianapolis is the only semi-decent team that they've beaten. We had Tony Grossi from ESPN Cleveland on the show this week on Jared and the GM, and he said, look, that not only are they beating bad teams, but they're not even impressively beating bad teams. Yeah. That being said, Cleveland is a much improved ball club, and they got good players on that team.
Yeah, they have good players, but it all goes back to what the quarterback does. I mean, Baker Mayfield, you know, we talked about a little bit off the air. Last year, I think the hype was so high on him that he couldn't really perform, and he was being scrutinized for everything he does. But it all depends on which Baker Mayfield shows up. I mean, if you look at some of the games he played this year, when he played against Cincinnati, he was 22 for 28, 297 yards. Then all of a sudden he comes and he plays the Raiders, he's 12 for 25 for 122. So he's still inconsistent, but the offensive coordinator and the head coach is not putting him in position to where he has to win the game by himself. That's why this team is different, is because of the quarterback play. There's pressure on Baker Mayfield, but it's not that much pressure that he had last year because he's playing with more confidence. He's letting other guys win the game. He's letting his running game take over and just making a couple of plays to keep the Browns in the game.
Well, my theory on the Browns is when you pick first every year, you're probably going to end up with some pretty good players.
Yeah.
And you get all the cap space every year because the players you've picked first before aren't any good, so you're not extending them to big contracts, so you're not up against the cap. So a team like the Titans can't give Jack Conklin $14 million a year because they're giving Taylor Lewan $15 million a year. Cleveland doesn't have that problem because guys they draft in the first round aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
But I think that the organization has kind of backed off on what's made Cleveland Cleveland over the last couple of years. They've brought in a coach who I don't know much about but seems to at least understand basic football,
yeah.
And that is we got two of the best running backs in the league. Maybe we should run the football, and that's worked for Cleveland.
Yeah.
But it's a different test today against the Titans, who outside of Pittsburgh are probably the best team they've played this year.
But you know what the difference of this team is, and I watched them a couple of games. They went from being a team that's a me to a we. That makes a difference. That makes a difference. If you look at last year, everything was focused on what these guys did off the field. Well, I'm wearing a watch during the game, and I got on the shoes. I got on this. I'm making commercials, which is great. But then I think that the mentality has changed of, okay, I understand we're doing all this publicity. I understand about, you know, having this and having that. But at the end of the day, we gotta win ball games, and that's why this team is different. It's a different mentality of these Cleveland Browns, and that's why they're 8-3 is because they're not focusing on the nonsense. They're focusing on winning ball games. And when you have between 53 to 67 guys that's committed to winning on offense, defense, and special teams, then now you have a recipe for success. It's kind of like the Tennessee Titans, you know, right before Vrabel got there. There was a lot of me guys. It was a lot of guys that said, well, I want to do this, and I'm going out that crazy and do all that stuff. But all of a sudden, when Vrabel came in and he said, you know what, it ain't about what you do, it's about what we do. It was the change in the mentality. And that's the same thing with the Cleveland Browns. It's a we mentality as opposed to a me mentality, and that's why the Cleveland Browns are successful.
And I would say this on top of it. This Cleveland team reminds me of the Titans team 3 years ago, Mike Mularkey's last season.
Right.
Titans started off 8-4 that year, ended up 9-7, probably weren't as good as we thought, went into the playoffs, though, and won a playoff game at Kansas City.
Right.
So I think that it kind of reminds me of that team. But the Titans, if it wasn't for Kansas City, mm-hmm. I think the Titans, I would firmly believe the Titans are Super Bowl contenders. I have a hard time getting there right now because I still think Kansas City is just so explosive and so good. But I mean, I think the standards that we hold the Titans to right mm-hmm. now are not the standards in which we feel Cleveland is. Where we feel Cleveland is a nice team.
Right.
They're going to make the playoffs. They've got 8 wins already. They play the Jets and the Giants down the stretch. That should get them to 10. 10 gets you into the playoffs. We think the Titans are better than that, though.
Yeah.
You know, we feel like the Titans at this point have proven that they're a notch above the Clevelands of the world. But you can't get too cocky and you can't get too arrogant in this league, I think, as you well know.
Oh, definitely. But look at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs are in the same predicament that we're in. We have a high explosive offense, but what's the Achilles heel? Our defense. So anything can happen at any time in any game. It's just catching the team at the right time. And if, in my opinion, I know that Kansas City is the best because of the offense that they have. They have Mahomes. They have Tyreek Hill. They have Harmon. They have all these explosive guys. But all of a sudden, you get into the game with the Tennessee Titans where they're running the ball down your face, and then all of a sudden, the defense just gets one or two stops. And then all of a sudden, you got Henry just running the game. So everything's thrown up to see who can win it. But the team that's playing consistent football is the team that's going to win. And you look at the Cleveland Browns, you know, everybody's talking about, well, they beat some teams that wasn't good. But if you're a good team, you're supposed to do that. And that's what the Tennessee Titans are doing also. They're beating the teams that they're supposed to. I know they slipped up against the Cincinnati Bengals, but they came back and they beat Baltimore Colts because they should have beat them.
Coming up next on the pregame show, we'll take a look at the 4 biggest storylines surrounding the Titans right now as we get set for today's game, including one disappointing story and one not-so-surprising story. We'll hit those on the other side. We are live from the Corner Pub downtown. The pregame show is presented by Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com. Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Jared and Chris, the pregame show continues next. It's ESPN 102.5, the game. Titans and Browns today at Nissan Stadium. It is the number one local game for CBS. It will be the game that most of the country will get in the noon window, but it's not the late afternoon game. That's going to be Philadelphia and Green Bay. And it's not the Sunday night game tonight. That's going to be Kansas City and Denver.
Denver might slip and win there.
No, they won't.
Okay.
Did you see what they did last week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had you a quarterback, right?
They had you a quarterback. They had a wide receiver playing quarterback here on the pregame show. But it is a big game. 2 8-3 teams. It has led off tons of coverage around the country talking about Titans and Browns. But it is time now to hit the 4 biggest stories of today's game surrounding the Titans, presented by Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. And, of course, we go 4 downs with first down. How can you talk about this game or the Tennessee Titans without talking about the big dog, Derrick Henry, and what he is doing? 179 yards last week against the Indianapolis Colts. Derrick Henry is absolutely unstoppable. Just ask the Ravens, ask the Colts, ask the league. He looks like he's headed for his second rushing title in consecutive seasons. In fact, Teron Davenport, who will join us later, brought up the point that no running back has had back-to-back rushing titles and not made the Hall of Fame since the 1940s.
Wow.
Derrick Henry might be headed for 2,000 yards. He's on pace for 1,800.
Dude.
He is also on pace for a bunch of carries at 372. But Chris Sanders,
yes.
There is no stopping the big dog right
Man,
now.
He's just playing at a whole different level. And the one thing I love about Derrick Henry is how he matured as a running back. You know, when he first got in the league, you know, everybody's talking how he was running side to side and all these things. But watching him master his craft, watch him listen to Tony Deuce, his running back coach, he's just taking it to a whole different level. And just looking how he runs. I mean, if you look at last week, he didn't get touched until he got to the second level and he started punishing the secondary. I was watching them when they played the Colts. I think he made the Colts quit. And the reason why I say that is every time he was running the ball, look at their body language when they were walking to the sidelines. They were like, man, I don't want to tackle this guy. So it just shows you that Derrick Henry is maturing as a running back. He's getting better and better each game. And when he gets to the fourth quarter, he just wears down the defense. He wears down the defense. He punishes them. He's using that stiff arm to show these guys that even though you're trying to tackle me, I'm the one that's initiating the force, and I'm running through your face. And then on the flip side of that, you got to give credit to the offensive line.
Yep.
I mean, the offensive line with Quisenberry, Saffold, Kelly Jones, they were opening so many lanes for him to run through. He was running to the second level, and he wasn't even getting touched. So it goes hand in hand with Henry running the ball, with Henry having those physical runs. But also on the flip side, you have Quisenberry, Saffold, Kelly, and Jones opening up lanes for him to run through.
I think one of the things about Derrick Henry is that, to your point about making Indianapolis quit, I think after the second drive of the game without Buckner and Autry in there, they looked at themselves on the sidelines and thought, we can't stop him. I think I tweeted this out after about the second drive of the game. I said, not only do I not think that Indianapolis can stop him, and I don't think the Titans think Indianapolis can stop him, I don't think Indianapolis thinks Indianapolis can stop him.
I mean, it was incredible, but what he was doing is he was standing in front of the chains on chain and standing in front of the chains in every run that he was making. So you're looking at a 7-yard run here, a 10-yard here, then all of a sudden he's got a 16-yard run. So it took the pressure off Tannehill because they're always standing in front of the chains. And when you stand in front of the chains, you keep the defense off balance. Because when you keep the defense off balance, when you stand in front of the chains, as opposed to being, you know, 2nd and 12, it's 2nd and 3, 2nd and 1. So now you have the option of throwing the ball, running the ball with Henry, throwing a quick screen to a receiver or to a running back. And that's what's making this running back so special. He's just bringing another level to this Tennessee Titans offense.
And that takes us to second down. Second down. Second down. The Browns got some pretty good runners themselves. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, 700 yards each. Chubb last year finished second to Derrick Henry in the rushing title, which Derrick took on the last carry of the last game of the season a year ago. Cleveland wants to run the ball outside of Dalvin Cook having an absolutely phenomenal day in week 3 against the Titans defense. Since Mike Vrabel has been the coach, elite running backs have not fared all that well against Vrabel and the Titans. Chris Sanders,
yes,
what do we think of the two runners for Cleveland and how well they've been able to move the football this year, similar to that of Derrick Henry?
Oh, man, they're a two-headed monster. I mean, if you look at why they're successful, their offensive line, just like the Tennessee Titans, they got Conklin, they got Taylor, they got Wills. They got an offense that can physically wear you down, that can physically punish you. And with these two guys, they're one of those guys to where they want to run you over as opposed to running out of bounds. They're not big in stature. They're not big physically like a Henry, but they play big. They're big. They're physical. They can hit the home run, and they're special kind of players to where, you know what, if I don't make this tackle, this guy can take the difference. So, Jared, let me ask you the question. Who's the number one running offense in the league?
Cleveland.
Who's number two?
Tennessee.
This is going to be Rocky and Apollo all day long.
See, that's where I disagree. I mean,
we'll get into this
throughout the course. I think the Titans are going to shut down the Browns running game. Now, I'm worried about Baker. I'm worried about Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper, Higgins. I'm worried about those guys. I do not think Vrabel is going to let the Cleveland running game take over the ball.
But that's going to happen on both sides. The Cleveland Browns are going to try to stop Henry, and the Browns are going
to try to stop Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. So I think, and we'll talk about it a little later in the show, that means on the perimeter, both teams on the perimeter are going to have to win because they're going to have to shut down the game. Let me ask you a question on this. Do you think that Henry's going to have a big day like he had against the Colts?
I should have a pretty big day. 179 yards. I mean, we talked about 150 yards was our expectation last week. Do you know how absurd that is to have as an right. expectation for a running back and then him break it by 30 yards? Yeah, no. Like, that is wild. I mean, I definitely think Derek's going for 100 today.
I say between 100 and 115.
I mean, that's probably about right. You know, 125, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
I mean, but even though even if he gets 98, it's still a win against his defense, because now they didn't have Garrett last week. Now they do. So that defense is going to bolster up because they have their big playmaker on defense. And you saw last week, you know, when they didn't have Garrett, I know the defense kind of struggled a little bit against the Jaguars, but when you get a big dog like that back on your defense, a guy that sticks the quarterback and stops the run and basically your whole defensive guy, or who takes over the whole defense, now it might be a little tougher for Henry to get those 179 yards.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
He was the free agent signing who was supposed to save the Titans and their pass rush. Jadeveon Clowney, 1 year, $12 million. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network reporting, Clowney had season-ending knee surgery on Wednesday. Out for the year, $12 million, zero sacks from Jadeveon Clowney. Now, I could sit here and say I told you so, like I did tell everybody so, all year, all pandemic long, when everybody wanted to sign Jadeveon Clowney. I could tell our morning show host, Joe Rex, wrote that. He won't listen. He still thinks it was a good idea. The Clowney experiment was a complete and utter unmitigated disaster. Chris Sanders, what do we make of the man that I consider to be the most overhyped Titans signing since Carl Pickens?
It's a little disappointing because we expected him to do more. And if you look at what everybody's talking about he was a game wrecker. Did he wreck shop? He does all those things. We need you to wreck shop, but also we need sacks. We need you to put pressure on the quarterback. We need you to stop the run. And, you know, I think with him being hurt and not him having an off season, I think that he struggled a little bit. And when you're on the off season, and you don't have that accountability of having a coach in your face and that accountability to make sure you're doing the right thing, sometimes you tend not to work on your craft. And we saw it with him coming into this year. There was no sacks. There was pressure on the quarterback maybe once in a while. There was no stopping the run. So it was a big disappointment because we expected more. I think sometimes we're looking at what he did against Michigan, and I said it a couple of weeks ago, that when he knocked the guy's helmet off. Everybody looks at that play that, oh, he's a sack guy. He's a ferocious player, which he is. But we need production between the tackles. We need production of second to quarterback. We need production of making plays, and we just didn't see that this year.
I think Clowney has the potential. I just don't think he's a player.
But potential is a bad word.
Potential is a bad word.
You know?
I think Clowney is, I mean, Clowney's going to walk away with a lot of money in his life. You get a lot of money when you're the number one pick. I think it was $14.5 million that he made last year with Seattle on the franchise tag, $12 million here. Not the money he thought he was going to get, but that, I mean, that's still a lot of money. I just don't think he's – I mean, at this point, I doubt that Jadeveon Clowney will play another snap in the NFL.
Oh, somebody's going to pick him up just because of his
name.
But
is he going to want to play? I mean, how much – he wanted $21 million coming into this season. He ended up getting 12, right. And it was like, well, if I'm going to do 12, I'm not doing training camp. See, and so he got $12 million this year. He got no sacks. He got hurt again. He's a year older. This was a 12-year prove it, $12 million one-year prove-it deal, and he stunk the – up. And so to me, that's the proof that you can't play. Yeah. So everybody's going to offer $3 million, $2 million. And I don't think somebody, you know, who has, as a lot of people have questioned a work ethic. Now, I don't think his work ethic was a problem here, but is somebody like that who's made all that money going to want to play for $2 million?
Yeah, but why would – this is just my opinion, and I'm being careful when I say this. But
and
why,
he probably is a $2 million player,
yeah,
honestly.
But why would – just if I'm a general manager and I hear a guy that I want to sign say, okay, if you don't sign me for $21 million, I'm not coming to camp, that's a red flag right there. That's a red flag right there. That means you're saying, okay, I understand you want to get your money. I understand you want to set your family up for life. But if you come in with that kind of attitude, I'm not signing you. Do you think Floyd Reese would sign a guy like that?
Well, Floyd's already said he wouldn't sign Clowney.
When I hear you say that, you're sitting in my office, I'm talking to the agents, and you're saying that I'm not coming in unless you pay me $21 and I'm not coming to camp. That is a no-no. That's a red flag for me, because that means it's all about you as opposed of the team. And people may disagree with me and saying it's wrong, but you want players that's committed to winning. And I'm not saying he wasn't committed to winning, but when you're committed to winning, sometimes you got to sacrifice a little to get what you want to get.
And that takes us to fourth down.
Fourth down.
Speaking of making sacrifices and committing to win, not looking good for the Titans' first-round pick, Isaiah Wilson. First-round tackle out of Georgia has been placed on the suspension list by the Tennessee Titans. Wilson missed practice this week with an illness. He's been on the COVID list twice. He's facing charges from a DUI that he was charged with at the beginning of the season, I believe. And he had the incident at the TSU party in the middle of a pandemic. And it looks like the Titans have suspended him for an accumulation of things, but he will be suspended for today's game. He was already ruled out. It sounds to me like that's procedural in terms of taking a game check away. But Isaiah Wilson got four snaps in last week, four blowout snaps, three in victory formation, one on special teams for the first round pick. And I know he's raw, and I know COVID and all that. This looks like it's headed down the path to Pac-Man Jones.
You don't want it to become I don't know if the listeners remember a guy named Lawrence Phillips. You don't want it to become like that. We gotta stop this guy from going in the wrong direction. And the way you stop a guy from going in the wrong direction is sit him down. I know guys have done that. I know, you know, Jay Rob has probably done it. Set him down and say, listen, what help do you need to get you on track? What help do you need to help you overcome these things that you're fighting in life? And if a guy says, I need help and I want help, those are the guys I'm going to work with. But if he's a guy that's saying, you know what, I got this on my own, I'm going to do what I want to do, then now eventually you're going to have to let him go because he doesn't want to be a part of this team. I mean, I understand he's young. We all make mistakes. We all do some wrong things. But it's got to come to a point in time to say, you know what, I have to learn how to be a professional. I have to make sure I do the wrong things because it's not about you anymore. It's about you and the team. So we got to take that me mentality out as opposed to a we mentality. So if somebody sits down and talks to him and show him and help him understand what the bigger picture is, I hope we can take the picture and he can change it and have a good career.
He's running out of chances. I mean, I
would say that. I mean, interrupt you. I would say that if this was his fifth or sixth year, but right now it's his first year. You still don't like that, do you?
Well, I just don't know how you can let him get away with it. I mean, at some point, you got to step up and say, hey, you want to be a part of this football team. You can't be doing all. And I understand the Titans are in a tough spot because he's a first-round pick, and you can't just cut a first-round pick. But at some point, I mean, the guy can't get on the field, and the Titans are losing tackles left and right. And he can't get on the field.
I mean, that's the disappointing part because if you look at him when he played in college, man, he was just he was a game wrecker. I mean, he was a guy that's just dominating people, and we need him. I'm not saying that Quisenberry can't do the job, but when you have a guy that physical in stature, that guy that can dominate another human being, he needs to be in the field. He needs to be on the field, but the reason why he's not on the field is because of the crazy stuff off the field, and I just think it's absurd.
Four Downs is presented by Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Titans' offense today. Titans' offense is rolling.
Yeah.
They get the Cleveland Browns 17th-ranked defense. What will that look like? Chris Sanders will break that down next. It is the pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is time now to take a look at the Titans' offense as they get set for the Cleveland Browns. Jared and Chris here on the pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown. Three great locations at Corner Pub, by the way. Bellevue, Brentwood, and this one downtown. Chris Sanders,
yes,
the 17th-ranked defense of the Cleveland Browns, gets set to take on the Tennessee Titans. Now, nobody has stopped Derrick Henry as of late, but the Browns do have the 12th best rushing defense in the NFL. Returning for the Browns on defense will be edge rusher Myles Garrett, who spent 2 weeks on the COVID list. As Garrett told reporters, COVID kicked his butt for 2 weeks, but he is back today. The Titans will have third-string left tackle David Quisenberry going up against Myles Garrett. Right now, the Titans' offense clicking on all cylinders. Both Corey Davis and A.J. Brown have had back-to-back good games. Adam Humphries will return to the lineup. Jonnu Smith is out. So, Chris, with that, your thoughts on the offense today for the Titans?
We already know. I mean, the Tennessee Titans definitely have to establish a run. And I don't think we need to put all the pressure on Henry. You got Foreman, you got McNichols. So if they can establish a run and stay in front of the chains, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful. But it's all going to boil down to what happens in the trenches. I mean, you have the offensive line, you have Saffo, you have Kelly, you have Jones, you have Quisenberry going against Garrett, Richardson, and Vernon. That's what's going to be the determining factor of the game. So if the Tennessee Titans on the offensive line can open up those lanes for Derrick Henry and Foreman and McNichols, I think they can be successful. And then on the flip side, We got to win on the perimeter. I mean, you know that the Cleveland Browns are going to load the box to try to stop Henry.
And so, their secondary has been abysmal this year.
That's what I'm saying. We got to take advantage of those one-on-one matchups. You got Brown against Ward. You got Davis against Mitchell.
And Ward may not play.
And he might not play. So that's just another thing that the Tennessee Titans could take advantage of. We already know that Henry's going to run the ball. We already know that Henry's probably going to have over 100 yards. But it's all going to be determined of what the offensive line does.
Do you believe in the Titans' offensive line? The last 2 weeks, the Indianapolis Colts played without DeNico Autry, mm-hmm. and they played without DeForest Buckner. 2 weeks ago, the Ravens played without Brandon Williams and without Calais Campbell. Mm-hmm. Those are some really good players. That's like saying play without Daquan Jones and Jeffrey right. Simmons. Are we convinced this offensive line is good enough to handle a defensive line the caliber of Cleveland's, at least as far as the running game is concerned?
I do, and it all goes back to the mindset. I know we're like, well, okay, they didn't have those good players, but whatever guy was in there, the Tennessee Titans offense was dominating. I mean, they had the Colts on skates last week. I mean, it was unbelievable. And when you're a nose tackle or edge rusher and you're turning to the side because you don't want to be hit, that just shows you that the offensive line is dominating and imposing your will. And I'm impressed with this offensive line. You got Saffold that was out, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and they still beat Baltimore. You have Kelly, you have Jones, you have Quisenberry. Even though they keep shuffling the offensive line, they're still playing together as a unit. So I'm impressed with the offensive line of the Tennessee Titans.
Returning to the pass game, Adam Humphries today. Out is Jonnu Smith.
Ooh.
How big is the loss of Jonnu Smith? And what we've seen a lot the last couple of weeks, Jeff Swaim has kind of entered into the offense a little bit more at tight end. But we'll start with the return of Humphries and then get to the loss of Jonnu. What do you think of the return of Adam Humphries
today? I mean, that's a Tannehill's security blanket, and I'm so glad that Humphries is back. I know he took a vicious hit. But for him to be back in the lineup, it's that chain mover. When I see that chain mover, when it's third and five or third and six, you know that Humphries is going to be there. Even though he might not take the top off the defense or make that explosive play, he's always in the right spot to make the play if Tannehill's always in trouble. And that's where he gives you that security break. And with Jonnu Smith there, you're going to be kind of upset when I say this. I don't think it's a loss because in the last couple of weeks, I know he scored like a 5 or 6 yard touchdown. But he hasn't really been a part of the offense.
Oh,
that much.
I so disagree with you.
How?
Jonnu Smith's good.
No. I'm not saying he's not good. He just really hasn't been a part of the offense. Like when he played the Colts last week, how many passes did he catch? He caught like two, and then he had one for a touchdown, which is great. That's a 5 yard. But I think that there's so many other guys that's making so many plays that they can overcome with the loss of Jonnu.
Although Jonnu has been a touchdown machine.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he is, but. He has, in the last couple of weeks, his name hasn't been talked about a whole bunch. Does that make sense? I'm not saying he's not a great player, but I'm looking at him for his numbers to jump out. I mean, there's weeks where he had 1 for 13, 2 for 25. I want the bigger numbers because he's a big-time player. I don't know if it's because Arthur Smith is looking at the matchups on the outside of the perimeter.
I mean, they give the ball to Derrick Henry right. 30 times a game. I think
right.
that probably has
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but I just want him to be incorporated
I think
more.
Jonnu Smith is a – like, I don't think Jonnu's a great player, but I think Jonnu's the kind of player that the second you lose Jonnu – like, let's say Jonnu's a free agent at the end of the year. Let's say Jonnu goes somewhere else,
right.
which is totally possible because I think there are a lot of people that are going to look at the athleticism and the size and some of the plays he's made, and there might be a team that gives him – $11 million or something crazy like that. And the Titans, with all the guys they've extended, they would not be able to pay Jonnu Smith
right.
something like that. So let's say that Jonnu Smith leaves. I think that is somebody you would miss. That is a body that, like, Floyd would never admit this, and I don't know why he won't admit this. I think the Titans defense misses Logan Ryan.
I agree.
And that's I feel like Jonnu Smith – is a good player, and he's dynamic, and he makes defenses. You have to respect everything Jonnu is capable of doing. And so him not in the lineup, I don't think it decides the game. Mm-hmm. I certainly think you can still beat the Cleveland Browns without Jonnu Smith, but I would also say I hate not having Jonnu Smith today.
But I think Jonnu has to get in the offense to where – the offense features him. Does that make sense to use his skill set? I'm not saying Arthur Smith hasn't done that. He did it earlier in the season, even last year when he did it with the Saints. But if you look at when I played with the Tennessee Titans in 1999, who was one of our feature players? Frank Wycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Wycheck was catching 60 balls a game is because regardless of what happens, regardless of Eddie George getting the ball, regardless of how the offense was structured, Frank Wycheck was a guy that was definitely a part of a big part of the offense. Janu, it's not that he doesn't have the skill set. It's not that he's not very good.
They certainly don't use him like they used Delaney back when, yes. You know, when Delaney was all you had.
That's what I'm saying. And with the Tennessee Titans, you have A.J. Brown, you have Humphreys, you have Davis, you have, I know you don't like the name, Ferkser. You have all these guys.
I love Ferkser.
I love Ferkser. But you have all these guys that need to touch the ball that even though Janu is not in this game, he's not going to be missed. And I say that in a respectful way because you have so many weapons and he's not the feature guy like a Frank Wycheck.
2 weeks in a row, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis have both played really, yes. really well. I think now they're starting to complement each other. I think this is – I'm sure that John Robinson had higher hopes when he drafted Corey Davis with the fifth overall pick than what he's gotten out of Corey Davis. But I think that this is what you – when you use a first-round pick on one guy, you use a second-round pick on another guy, and you've got the best running back in the league – I think this is what you want from your two receivers, what they're getting out of A.J. and Corey. And it's so funny because I have been so anti-Corey Davis.
But why?
Because he didn't live up to the billing of the fifth pick.
Okay, tell me why.
But he's been playing better than he has ever played for the Titans. And it's like all this work and time of Corey Davis entering witness protection, and now Davis is playing some good football.
But
A.J.
why?
Brown is playing great ball. And I just wonder, one, how long will this continue for? And two, if it does continue, can you slow down the Titans if they've got two receivers and the best running back in the league?
Before I answer that question, tell me why. I mean, of course.
Because he didn't do anything.
But why?
Because he didn't do anything.
It's all about opportunities.
He's getting the same opportunities that he was getting before.
That is not true. He is not getting as much targets as he is getting now. There's no possible way. And I know he had injuries and all those things like that, but now he's getting opportunities to make plays, and that's what it is. And, you know, going back to the question that you asked me about can this offensive end stop, I don't think so. Because if you stop the running game, then on the outside, on the perimeter, you got Corey Davis getting one-on-one, and you have Brown getting one-on-one. And I think with those guys being two guys that are freak of nature, that are big, that can catch the ball, that can run after the catch, it's a recipe for success because they're big and they can make plays.
So I just keep going back to, I think Corey Davis said this a little bit in a press conference last week where he said, you know, I knew this offseason, hey, the price is going up, so we've got to work a little harder. I think we're starting to see I think Corey Davis is going to look across the sidelines today and see Jack Conklin, and he is going to say, hey, the Titans declined Jack Conklin's fifth-year option. Jack had a good end of his walk year, and Jack is getting paid. Now, Jack's team might not be great. We'll see today. But Jack is getting paid. And I think Corey's going to be standing on that sideline thinking, hey, I can do the Jack Conklin, because there is somebody who's going to pay Corey Davis.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I think Corey Davis, and I love what I'm getting out of Corey Davis right now. I think Corey Davis has now almost outpriced himself from coming back to the Titans after this season.
Yeah, but he's playing consistent football. He's playing good football. He's making plays, and he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. And if I'm a Tennessee Titans and they opt out of my fifth-year contract, basically saying you're not good enough. You don't think a player wants to hear that? If I'm Corey Davis, I'm trying to catch every ball. I'm jumping over somebody's head to make a play because he developed an edge. And sometimes you need that edge. Sometimes you need it. So
to Jared's point, to not Chris's point,
oh my God,
about Corey Davis not getting enough opportunities, against Pittsburgh, Corey Davis was targeted 10 times.
How many times did he catch it?
Six. For 35 yards. Targeted 10 times, six catches for 35 yards.
Oh my God.
Last week, how many times do you think Davis was targeted?
I say eight.
Three.
Okay.
How many times did he catch it?
Three.
70 yards for Corey Davis last week.
But those were totally different routes, though. If you look at when he was targeted last year when you gave up the stat, that was more of a quick game. These are more crossing deep routes. So it's more to that,
well,
Jared.
We can make excuses.
Oh,
we can make excuses.
There we go.
But I would say this right now: Corey Davis and A.J. Brown are both playing well, and with Derrick Henry, it almost is making the defense make choices. And Tannehill, I think, is smart enough, and we've known this ever since he became the quarterback of the Titans. Tannehill, it looks like when he gets to the line, makes the decision of, okay, you're going to take this away from me. Well, then I'm going to go do this. And that right there has just lit these teams up. One other thought on the offense. Myles Garrett might be the best pass rusher in the NFL.
Right.
David Quisenberry is a practice squad level tackle. Mm. how much do we worry about that matchup today? And how much do you use Swaim in the lineup in place of Jonnu Smith to help Quisenberry out?
Yeah, this is what you got to do. It's all up to Arthur Smith, and it's going to be to what formations that they put the Tennessee Titans in. If you have Myles Garrett out there, you've got to go a 12 personnel. That's one back and two tight ends. So now you have two tight ends. You have a tight end to help you if Garrett's on that side. So it's all going to be where what formations did Arthur Smith put these guys in. But if they go where there's an open end, when I say open end, there's no tight end, and he has to block Garrett by himself, that's a recipe for success, because even two guys can't block Garrett. It all depends on what Arthur Smith does and what formations they put him in.
615-737-1025 would be our phone number for you to call if this were Jared and the GM where we were taking phone calls, but we are not today. We are live from the Corner Pub downtown. On the other side, we will flip it to the defense.
Let's go deep.
We'll take a look. Baker Mayfield has had a so-so season, but they've got two great running backs. Jack Conklin returns. What will the Titans' defense after what was a much better performance against Indianapolis on Sunday? What will we expect out of the Titans' defense? We'll do that next. It's the pregame show right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's time now to take a look at the Titans' defense. Jared and Chris live from the Corner Pub downtown. Titans and Browns. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper, Jack Conklin, a bunch of big names when you think of this Cleveland offense, although they are middle of the pack in the NFL, 18th ranked overall. Baker Mayfield against the good teams has not really played all that well, but he has not thrown an interception since before Halloween. So at least unlike last year, Baker Mayfield is taking care of the football. Chris Sanders, the Titans' defense has improved dramatically in two areas. While they still rank as the 25th defense, as they did after the Cincinnati debacle, two things that have fallen significantly have been red zone performance, where they are down for the season from 80% to 72%, and third downs, where they're down from 62% to 53%. They have played much better. How do we feel about the Titans' defense today against Kevin Stefanski in the Cleveland Browns offense?
I feel really good, and the reason why I feel really good is if you look at the Cleveland Browns offense, they're built on having those explosive plays. And if the Tennessee Titans can limit those explosive plays with Hodge and Higgins and Landry, and then you have the two-headed monster with Chubb and Hunt, if they can just eliminate the big plays and make them earn it and make Baker Mayfield make mistakes, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful. And if you look at last week with the Tennessee Titans, when they were going against Rivers, the reason why they were so successful on stopping them on offense is because we finally saw a pass rush. We finally got Rivers off his spot. And the same thing with Baker Mayfield. If we can do the same thing with Baker Mayfield to make him get off his spot, to make him make mistakes and put the game in his hands, then I think the Tennessee Titans can definitely be successful because we want to put it in his hands.
How do you move Baker off the spot? The Titans have struggled this year for the most part of getting a pass rush. Cleveland's got a first-round left tackle. They have Jack Conklin, a first-round right tackle. It's not exactly like, even against Indianapolis last year, it's not exactly like they were absolutely just blitzing the quarterback and coming after him.
No, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to send some corner blitzes on the boundary, or if you have King on the slot and send some pressure that way, I think you can definitely put pressure on Baker Mayfield. The only thing, the difference between Rivers and Baker Mayfield is Baker Mayfield can run a little bit. Rivers couldn't. It looked terrible when he ran. So we got to make sure that when we do put pressure on him, that he doesn't tuck it and run. So that's a couple of things we can do to stop their offense.
How do you account for stopping the run?
I mean, they're going to have to load the box. Everybody talks about loading the box and stopping the run.
You don't think Jones and Simmons and Crawford and Evans and that those guys can take care of this running attack and the Titans secondary can focus on the passing game for them?
I think they're still going to have to load the box. I mean, you're not going to have the number one rushing offense in the league if you're not doing something good. You're not going to have the number one rushing offense if you don't execute. So you're right. Simmons, Daquan, and Roberson and Landry, those guys are definitely going to have to put some pressure, but you're going to have to send some pressure somewhere else. And I kind of talked a little bit about it, sending the corner from the boundary or sending King off the slot. So if we can do it that way and put some pressure on Baker Mayfield and make him throw interceptions, he has seven interceptions this year and only 17 touchdowns. So if we can put the game in his hands, have him make mistakes, get him off his spot, then I definitely think the Tennessee Titans win.
Do you think I am crazy?
Yes, you are.
Well, I agree. Do you think I am crazy for not fretting and fearing the running game of the Browns? Like, I would, like, this is, I know this is going to sound so crazy, right? The Browns have the number one rushing offense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And yet, I have just seen a lot of great runners go up against Mike Vrabel's defense over the last couple of years, whether it's Zeke Elliott mm-hmm. or whomever you want it to be. Dalvin Cook got off on the Titans. Mm-hmm. That I will say. But the Titans' defense was horrible that game. Right. Everybody was bad that game. So, I mean, I've seen Leonard Fournette come in here, mm-hmm. and everybody talk about, oh, we got to stop the run, got to stop the run. God can't. What are you going to do about that? And the Titans have been fine. I've seen Zeke Elliott against Mike Vrabel. Oh, what are you going to do? How are you going to stop that? I would say the one running back last year who I just watched, I said, okay, the Titans couldn't, was Alvin Kamara.
Right.
And that was more of the dual threat that Kamara right. gives you. Elite running backs don't necessarily play great against Mike Vrabel's defenses. I feel pretty confident the Titans are going to stop the run today.
I mean, look at what happened last week. Everybody was talking about Hines. How many yards did Hines have last week?
Although Hines is not these guys.
Yeah, but still, he beat us the first game when the Indianapolis Colts. He did.
Yeah, but like 70 yards.
Okay,
I mean,
that's 70 yards. But what did he have last week? 10 for 28. I mean, that just shows you that it's all about a mentality. I know everybody talks the names that you named, the running backs. But there's a different mentality on this Tennessee Titans team. They know that, okay, if we have to stop the run, we're going to stop the run. If we need to make a play, we're going to make a play, because different guys at different times are making plays. So if they can just be a defense that bends but don't break, In my opinion, I don't see the Cleveland Browns getting over 100 yards, especially Chubb.
So then I'm not crazy for not worrying about the run.
I'm not worried about Chubb because – you know, we're going to load the box, and I think we're going to stop it, and we're going to put the game in Baker Mayfield's hands. And that's why I'm not going to guarantee a win, but I just think that the Tennessee Titans are a more physical and better team than they are.
I do need to correct something, because I've said all week that outside of Dalvin Cook, I can't remember an elite running back going off on Vrabel. Last year, Christian McCaffrey did have 146 yards, two touchdowns, and ended up with 166 yards from scrimmage and three touchdowns overall. So it has been done, and maybe, you know, we should not take that for granted. What do you think about the passing game? My biggest fear today, Chris, is that third and long situations, Titans are going to play that soft zone. Landry, Hooper, find the open spots. Baker, pitch and catch, first down.
No, this is where Mike Vrabel and that defensive staff has to be smart. The defensive back coach, Midget, what they have to do is they're going to have to come up and press these wide receivers. They're going to have to. You can't just sit back in cover one or cover three and just sit there in a soft zone and let these receivers catch the ball, because Landry's a good run after the catch. I mean, if you look at when they played the Pittsburgh Steelers, they played that soft three, and all of a sudden they catch a slant, he spins, it's a touchdown. You got to get up in these guys' mustache. You have to get up in these guys' face and jam them a little bit at the line to get the timing off a little bit. But you can't sit back there and let Baker Mayfield, Landry, Hodge, and Higgins play pitch and catch, because they're going to catch the ball and they're going to kill you down the field.
Hodge will be out. After saying that the Titans are not a super team this week, Hodge will be out for the Cleveland Browns. On the Titans front, how do you feel about the secondary? Adoree Jackson, Kristen Fulton still not back yet for action, I don't think. And yet it looks like they're improving with Breon Borders
into the
mix. And Desmond King, who has gotten some penalties so far, it looks like they're improving. One big question mark, though, Kevin Byard. What is going on with KB, Chris Sanders?
I think Kevin Byard is really doing much more than he was supposed to. I mean, let me say this in the right way. I think he has more responsibilities this year than what he had last year. Does that make sense? Last year, he could just play free safety and just do his job because he had some great corners on the right and left. But then now you don't have those top corners that you have. You have Adoree out. You have Butler. Butler's pretty good. But I think he's having to do more responsibilities to cover the other guys that are not capable of doing their job. So I don't think that he's not making plays. I don't think that he's not capable of getting interceptions. I just think that he's called on more to protect those other guys. And that's why we're not seeing the interceptions. That's why we're not seeing him making those big plays, because he's trying to protect everybody. But the one thing I can say about Byard is when you watch him, he's still around the ball. I mean, he may not get the interceptions. He may not, you know, make the play all the time, but he's always around the ball. And that's why I still think he's a good player.
Your overall thoughts on Baker Mayfield? The last year when the Titans played the Browns to open the season, Baker was coming off of Rookie of the Year, 28 touchdowns. They said he was a franchise quarterback. They got him Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham. And then last year with Freddie Kitchens as his coach, totally hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. This year with Stefanski, they've taken a lot off of his plate. I think that's okay for a young quarterback. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I certainly think Baker's a threat today. I don't think Baker's a bad quarterback right now.
He's not a bad quarterback, but he's just inconsistent. You don't know which Baker Mayfield is going to show up. Is it going to be the quarterback when he played against Cincy, 22 for 28 for 297, or is he going to be the player that he played against the Raiders, 12 for 25 for 122 and interception? So which Baker's going to show up? If the Baker Mayfield guy that shows up that has confidence in throwing balls and playing with so much confidence, that's the Baker Mayfield that I'm scared of. But if the Baker Mayfield that comes in that's inconsistent, not sure, not reading coverages, then I'm not scared. But it all depends on which Baker Mayfield shows up.
Tight ends have absolutely wrecked the Titans over the last couple of years, especially in zone coverage. Austin Hooper today, mm-hmm. one of the better tight ends in the league for Cleveland.
This is a perfect game where Byard can get an interception. And we ever know, everybody knows that Hooper's pretty good, but this is a perfect opportunity where Byard can go man-to-man against him and not let him catch any balls or actually get an interception. Yeah, the Titans have been killing, especially from the Colts and different teams, but this is an opportunity for the Tennessee Titans to stop the tight end Hooper.
How do you feel about the Titans' defense as a whole? Do you feel like they are at the level that we expect the Titans to compete? Do you feel like they are there right now?
I'm not saying that they're there, but they're close, and the reason why I'm saying they're close is because different guys are making plays at different times. I mean, if you look at a couple of weeks ago when they were playing the Baltimore Ravens, they didn't have no sacks during the game. Then all of a sudden Landry breaks through and he gets a sack, and they stop him, and we get the ball and we go back. So even though we're not there, there's still different guys making plays. Simmons is playing at a high level. Landry's playing at a high level. And I know the back end struggles a little bit, but the thing about it is if they consistently get better at the right time, and we always talk about that, this is coaches, it's about playing football at the right time and playing with momentum. So what I'm saying is if the Tennessee Titans can keep playing with momentum and getting better each week, this is a dangerous ball club.
So coming into today, both Jeffrey Simmons and Roger Saffold were questionable. Are they going to play today? We'll have the answer for you next. Here it is, the pregame show live from the Corner Pub. Jared and Chris on ESPN 102.5, the game. And it is time to take a look at the injury report presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir,
coming
yes.
in today. We knew Jonnu Smith and Adoree Jackson would be out. We'll have more on Adoree in a second. But Jonnu Smith and Adoree Jackson, we knew they'd be out. The question was Roger Saffold, who did not practice with an ankle injury this week, and Jeffrey Simmons with a knee, would they be able to play in today's game? And the inactives are out, and out for the Titans today. Wide receiver Nick Westbrook-Akina, mm-hmm. corner Adoree Jackson, tight end Jonnu Smith, and defensive lineman Larrell Murchison.
That's it?
Which means Simmons is in. And Saffold is in.
That is huge. And the team that's going to win, or the team that's going to win it all, is a team that's healthy. And looking at the report, I think the Tennessee Titans are very healthy.
Well, I wonder how healthy Simmons is with the knee, and I wonder how healthy Saffold is with the ankle. But it's really good to have both those guys, especially Simmons, in a game like this against the Cleveland Browns running attack.
I mean, he is a dog. He's a game wrecker. Everybody talked about him when he got drafted. They were unsure about his knee. But, man, when that joker gets in, he is a game wrecker. He just changes the game. He's kind of like Garrett for the Cleveland Browns. He just wrecks shop, and that's exactly what Simmons is. He's just a guy who wrecks shop, makes plays, and is always around the ball. Tip balls, fumbles. It just shows you he's a top-tier caliber player.
Other news and notes, Adam Humphries active for the first time since the Cincinnati game when he suffered that big hit. He will be in. And, of course, we said Jonnu Smith and Adoree Jackson out. Is Adoree Jackson plan on playing this year?
I don't know. What is going on with that situation? I know Mike Vrabel doesn't really talk about it, but it's got to be something. You know, because we see him practicing on the field sometimes. But
well, he hasn't practiced.
I mean, not really practiced. You see him
weeks and weeks and weeks.
But what is going on? It has to be something that we're serious that they're not talking about.
Vrabel said that he didn't have a setback. Vrabel just said he has some good days, he has some bad days. To that, I said, okay, Mike. Okay. You're right. You were preparing to play him for the Pittsburgh game on October 25th. You took him off of the IR where you get 3 weeks before you have to come back, and he hadn't come back yet, and he's not practicing yet. So what was originally a 3-week timetable is now turned into like an 8-week timetable.
I can't
believe that they anticipated that, which makes me think whatever's wrong with Adoree Jackson's knee, he had a setback.
It's serious because, just like you said, he had a chance to play in the Pittsburgh game. And that was a while ago. So why isn't he not playing now? I mean, it's something that went on, and he definitely probably had a setback.
With that, we take a look at the Cleveland Browns inactives for today. A couple of interesting names. Defensive end Joe Jackson is out. Safety Tedrick Thompson is out. Running back Dontrell Hilliard is out. Wide receiver Kadarrell Hodge is out. Wide receiver Taywan Taylor
ain't that your favorite guy?
Is out today for the Cleveland. You talk about a guy who sucks. Oh. Taywan Taylor is out today for the Cleveland Browns. And I will never forget all the talk around Taywan Taylor. I don't know Taywan Taylor, and he might be a great guy. I guarantee you that to this day, Taywan Taylor thinks probably in his head that if Ryan Tannehill had played quarterback when he was here, he'd have caught all these long touchdown bombs and he'd have been the man. And he'd have. Taywan Taylor, what a train wreck. He's out today for the Browns. And the interesting note on this is Denzel Ward, the corner from. Oh.
The Ohio State University.
Denzel Ward is out with a calf injury today. Kevin Johnson. Their secondary is terrible with Ward. He's out. Kevin Johnson, who I've never heard of, will start at corner in place of Denzel Ward.
Wow.
Looks like there should be some options for A.J. Brown today.
Shoot, A.J. Brown, and with the addition of Humphreys being back there and their second, Humphreys being back on the offense, and then you have a secondary that's been struggling all year, I think Humphreys is going to have a big deal. Even if they try to play a zone, a cover two or whatever, to take A.J. Brown and Corey Davis out, that leaves room for A.J. Humphreys to keep moving the chains and making those big plays in the middle.
How much does the addition of Humphreys help mitigate the loss of Jonnu Smith?
Man, it's huge because, you know, if you look at Jonnu Smith, he's a chain mover too. When I say a chain mover, it's a guy that when it's third and five, he sits in his own, catches the ball, falls for it, and gets a first down. Now you have Humphreys that's been doing it before he got hurt. He's one of those guys that consistently moves the chains. He's very reliable, and he can make those tough catches when it's third and ten. So it's a very, very good addition for the Tennessee Titans.
How much, when you look back at Taywan Taylor's tenure with the Titans?
Stop it.
What do you think of when it comes to Taywan Taylor? I mean, I feel like that was a guy who everybody talked about because at least he could kind of run.
Yeah.
And I can't remember outside of a screen pass for a touchdown he caught against the Texans. I can't think about a big play Taywan Taylor made in 2 or 3 years.
No, remember the Colts? Where he caught a long, like a post.
Did you catch a bomb for a touchdown?
He caught like two bombs, and that's why everybody's like, oh, he's going to be the number one wide receiver. I think he's one of those guys that have potential, but inconsistently catching the ball, I think that's where he struggled because it'll be one play, I'll catch a bomb or, you know, I'll catch a slant, then a next play he'll drop a ball. So I think that's what his Achilles heels was catching the football. But it's all about potential, and now he has a new start with the Cleveland Browns.
For the Titans, David Quisenberry, left tackle today. Marshall Newhouse, who is a veteran swing tackle, was added from the practice squad for today's game. Chris, yes. Against that defensive line of the Cleveland Browns, how do you feel about the Titans' offensive line, knowing now that Roger Saffold is in today and the only change, you know, from what is normally the offensive line will be Quisenberry at left tackle?
Man, Quisenberry played great last week. And the reason why I love him so much, I love his story. I know he went through some situations. But this guy has an edge. I mean, he doesn't let the opponent dictate on what he can do. But I think Arthur Smith definitely has to be smart because, you know, you have Garrett that's going to play this week. So it all depends on what formation or personnel that Arthur Smith puts in the game. And one of the formations or personnel that the Tennessee Titans or Arthur Smith needs to do is that 12 personnel. It's one back, two tight ends, and two wide receivers. You got to stay in that formation because we know that Garrett's a game wrecker. We know that Garrett can rush the quarterback. So now, with Quisenberry playing the tackle, you have a tight end that can help him go against Garrett if Garrett's on that side. So that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans have to do.
How much does running at Myles Garrett make sense today with Derrick Henry?
I would run at him because when you're running at him, now he doesn't have enough time to do his moves. Everybody know he has a good swim move and, you know, he can do all these things to get to the quarterback. But it's totally different when you got Quisenberry, you got the other guard maybe pulling, and then all of a sudden you have even in a 21 personnel where you got blasting game coming straight and hitting you in the face. It's totally different when they're running at you as opposed to around you.
Let's take a look at our injury report presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coming up next, we'll check in with TD. Teron Davenport will join us with his thoughts on today's Titans and Browns game. So we will do that coming up next. We are live from the Corner Pub downtown. It is the pregame show. Titans and Browns today, 8-3 versus 8-3 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is time now as the Titans and Browns get set at Nissan Stadium, about an hour and 15 minutes away from kickoff. 8-3 versus 8-3. We are live with the pregame show from the Corner Pub downtown. Jared and Chris Sanders. And with that, we bring in TD, Teron Davenport of ESPN, now joins us here on the pregame show. So, TD, we talked about having Roger Saffold in the lineup today, but David Quisenberry getting his second start of the year going up against Myles Garrett, who is back for the Browns. I keep circling that matchup. When you look at Quisenberry and how well he's played, how do you feel about him against Garrett and the Cleveland defense today?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously advantage Browns with Myles Garrett, one of the best edge defenders in the league. But I think with the right help as far as chipping and doing things the right way as far as keeping Tannehill from holding on to the football, like having everything quick in the passing game, I think they'll be fine. And it's not just Myles Garrett because, you know, Garrett, he rushes the passer from both sides, which means that Quisenberry will get to face Olivier Vernon, too, who's no slouch himself. So it's going to be a tough matchup for both Quisenberry and Dennis Kelly. But I think if they play it correctly, they'll be all right. You just got to make sure that you're not dialing up as many, you know, seven-step drops, you know, that kind of thing, because this guy will get after you.
Chris, what do you think of today's game as far as the Titans are concerned? The Titans have done they've taken care of a lot of the business that they've had to take care of the last couple of weeks. The playoff percentages only dropped from 97% to 95% with a loss today. And yet it does feel like today is somewhat of a prove it game for the Titans. When you look at today's game, how do you feel in that regard, TD?
Yeah, I think every game is a proven game for this team because, you know, they want to control their own destiny. And that's what they're working to do. And the only way to do that, hey, is go out and win. And I think when you look at this Browns team, you know, they're a very physical team. They run the football. And this is a playoff contender. And in fact, they have a playoff ticket right now. So, yeah, it's definitely a game that I think is a proven one for them, this Titans team. You know how it goes. You know, there are times where they provide a letdown. So this will be a good opportunity for them to show that, you know, they're ready for the task at hand and they're looking to make a mark as one of the better teams in the conference.
You know, man, just looking at Baker Mayfield, we always know that he plays inconsistent when he gets a lot of pressure. What do you think the Tennessee Titans need to do to take the running game away but also make put the game in Baker Mayfield's hands?
Yeah, I think the big thing is to not get sucked up in play action.
Yeah.
And that's something that Kevin Stefanski has done an excellent job of just making it more Baker-friendly, right? And Mayfield, you know, he's averaging, I think it's like 9.6 yards per completion, you know, off of play action. So his biggest opportunity to have an impact is that way. And I think really if they could shift it from a running game into making Cleveland have to throw the ball a lot and not offer play action, I think that's where you could get Baker. And he's a guy that, you know, is very similar to Phillip Rivers last week. You know, you want to get after him. You don't want to get him a chance to, you know, move around. And he's someone, if you could get pressure on him, he'll turn the football over. But it's just they've done a good job with that play action and just keeping it simple. And that's why he hasn't turned the ball over in over a month.
You know, we've looked at the Tennessee Titans, and the one thing they struggle with is covering the tight end. Now they got a big dog with Hugh Hooper. What do the Tennessee Titans need to do to stop him, and who do you think will cover him when it's 3rd and 10?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting matchup. I think Amani Hooker is a guy that if they want to, you know, match up and go man, he would be a good option. Kevin Byard as well, you know, you could use him. But I think the main thing is keeping him from being able to go through zone the way that some of these tight ends have been able to. So they want to make sure that they don't have any loose windows in zones for a guy like Hooper, and you also have to take into account their other tight ends, Harrison Bryant and David Njoku. They have three guys that they really, you know, get involved. So it's going to take a lot, but I think really they just have to make sure that they, you know, play extra tight coverage, even in zone, not giving those easy throws from Mayfield to get into that rhythm. And he's a very emotional player, so the quicker he could get into a groove and feel good about himself, the worse he could be for an opposing team.
Teron Davenport is with us, ESPN. Denzel Ward out today for the Cleveland Browns. The Browns secondary has struggled. Davis and Brown have both played well. TD, how do you see the matchup for A.J. Brown? And what do you think that Cleveland will try to do, knowing that they have to worry about Derrick Henry, but fearful that A.J. Brown, in man coverage, can take it to the house at any point?
Yeah, they're kind of making them pick their poison, to be honest with you, because, you know, you load the box, that gives you one-on-one on the outside. And I think Corey Davis and A.J. Brown could beat whatever corners the Browns have available to them. Because remember, Greedy Williams is out too. So their top two guys are not around, you know what I mean? So that's definitely an advantage for the Titans that they have to be able to go to. I mean, that play action, crossing route for A.J. Brown, that has been money, and I would expect to see that dialed up multiple times today, and that's one way that they could do it. I really think it also comes down to Adam Humphries, too, because he's back, right? So with Jonnu Smith being out, Humphries in, you may end up seeing a little more 11 personnel with the three receivers out there because, you know, your best tight end is not available to you.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that. I mean, I know Jonnu Smith hasn't been putting up the numbers, but do you think it's a big loss with Jonnu Smith not being in the lineup this week?
Yeah, not having Jonnu Smith in the lineup, I think it is a big loss because he's not only, you know, an outstanding pass catcher, but that guy could really, really block. He does an outstanding job, and he still contributes even when he's not catching the ball because of what he could do for the rushing attack. So it's a big loss. And then also in the red zone, that's an area where Jonnu Smith has been excellent. And, you know, he scores touchdowns. He has more touchdowns than any other tight end in the league.
TD, what do you make of the special teams the last 2 weeks? The unmitigated disaster against Indianapolis on Thursday night. Played well, and maybe it's just well in terms of not making mistakes, but the last two games, they have been relatively unscathed. Brett Kern has made his return. What do you make of the special teams?
Hey, man, I'll tell you this much. I haven't heard you call for Coach Aukerman's job. So I think
I still want him out of here, FYI.
I think that in itself lets you know where it is. But, no, they've played really well. And Brett Kern, I mean, my goodness, he's something really special, you know, and having him has really helped get things back on track. And now you got Gostkowski, you know, making field goals. I think the coverage unit has gotten better. It's going to be interesting because Westbrook Ikhine is inactive, and he's one of their gunners. So I want to see, you know, how they go about addressing that and how that coverage unit is without Westbrook Ikhine, who, you know, he was the gunner that came in for Dane Cruikshank when Cruikshank went down. So who's that other guy going to be? That's going to be something to watch.
You know, last week we looked at the defense, and they put a lot of pressure on Rivers. I mean, Rivers was dancing everywhere, and they got him off his spot.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the pressure going to come for the Tennessee Titans to put pressure on Baker Mayfield and put pressure on that running game? Where was the pressure going to come from?
I think it should be more of the same. I think you're going to need to definitely send guys like Desmond King, dial up your occasional corner blitz, you know, and that's something that they did with Malcolm Butler a few times. So that's really what you have to do. And then I think it's really going to have to come down to those guys up front. Daquan Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, Tyre Tart, the outstanding rookie. You know, these guys have to dominate the interior and get that pressure on Baker Mayfield that way because, you know, Roberson and especially Howard Landry are coming off the edge. So if they could tear that up correctly and you know, make Baker have to do that reverse turn and roll out and throw the ball in a way that he shouldn't, it could lead to an interception.
Last one for you. Teron Davenport, ESPN, is our guest. What would a win today against Cleveland prove to you about the Titans as they would have a record at 9-3 at this point in the season with everything they've been through. What would a win today prove to you?
I think a win today will prove to me that this team is able to beat and will consistently beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a tough game, but let's be honest, the Titans are supposed to beat the Browns today. So I think if they could do that, it shows that, you know, they could deliver and they're getting to that point where they're one of those teams that does what they're supposed to do week in and week out and doesn't have those letdown games. I think this is an opportunity for them to show that.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, will have tons of coverage throughout the week on ESPN.com as well as across all of our shows. And then Nate and TD on Friday and the Talking with TD podcast, which I hear has a very popular segment of the podcast. Yeah. I hear every week is the number one thing. TD, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
TD.
Appreciate you. All right, run TMC.
Let's do it, baby.
Teron Davenport, as always, joining us here on the program. What did you make of what TD said there at the end? Chris, you've played on Titans teams who, even though they were tough games, you guys, for the most part, found ways to beat the teams you were supposed to beat. Cleveland is a good team, but they are a team that the Titans are supposed to beat, and I agree with TD about that. How important is it for a team to start proving to themselves that they can beat the teams they're supposed to beat over the course of a season?
It just shows you that they're a mature team. And when you're a mature team, you go out there and you have a business-like attitude of, okay, I understand the Browns are good. I understand they have a quarterback. I understand they have wide receivers. But at the end of the day, I'm supposed to beat you. And that's how you know that you're a mature team. And I know the Tennessee Titans are 8-3, but if they go out here and beat the Browns, now it solidifies that these guys are a contender.
Do you feel like the Titans – over the last 2 years, it feels like before Tannehill became the quarterback, the Titans struggled with winning those kind of games. And it feels like last year they had a bunch of those. Around this time, they won them. They won them handedly. It feels like they're doing the same thing this year.
It's because if you look at the years before Tannehill got there, we were unsure at the quarterback position. But now we're sure at the quarterback position because when you have that security blanket of a guy that when the game's on the line, that he can make plays, it just gives you that oomph of knowing that, okay, even though we struggled in the past, our mentality's changed is because we got somebody running the ship, which is Tannehill.
What do you think Cleveland's mindset is?
The same mindset as the Tennessee Titans.
What do you think they're thinking? I mean, but I'm sure they probably look at it differently than we look at it.
Not really, though. And the reason why I say that, Jared, is because they know that, okay, we understand that we're 8-3. We've been a laughing stock of the NFL for a long, long time. If we beat the Tennessee Titans, who have the best back in the league and a great offense, and we come in national and we beat them, that would stamp us as being one of the contenders in the NFL.
Coming up next, we'll have our picks to click.
Let's go.
Who needs to click and why today for a Titans victory? That, of course, is coming up next here on the pregame show. Chris and Jared live from the Corner Pub downtown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and, of course, we are streaming on the Game Nashville app. Time for your picks to click. They're presented by Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com. Taking a look at last week's picks to click, Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
You went with Corey Davis, three catches for 70 yards, including a big one right before halftime that set up a decisive touchdown for the Tennessee Titans. But you also went with Kevin Byard, who, if there was anybody to not click last week, it was Kevin Byard.
God. Appreciate you. Thanks for the love, man.
Well, I'm just saying,
appreciate you.
Beat by the running back, beaten by, in the end zone by Trey Burton for a touchdown. Not a good week.
You don't like him right now, do you?
Byard?
Yeah.
He needs to start playing better.
I agree.
I mean, I am a huge Byard fan. I think he goes about his business the right way. I think he's a good player. I think he's a smart player. I think he's a lot of the things that you would want, those kind of things. I think he's all those things. But. But.
Crazy.
I'm just saying. Meanwhile, for yours truly, I went with A.J. Brown, who had an outstanding game, and Jeffrey Simmons, who I'm sure he played well. I mean, I don't remember Simmons doing anything, so can't really celebrate the click to pick there, but I'm sure he played fine. Okay, time to pick to click today against the Cleveland Browns. Chris Sanders, who on offense is going to click for the Titans today and why?
This is how I know great minds think alike, and I know you're going to pick this guy. That's why I'm going to pick him, just to make you mad. I'm going with Humphreys. And the reason why I'm going with Humphries is because, you know, even if they try to take A.J. Brown or Corey Davis out the game, Humphries can be in the slot and keep the chains moving. So that's a security blanket for Tannehill. And, you know, and I think that Humphries is going to have a huge day. I'm not going to say he's going to have 100 yards, but he's going to have, like, maybe 7 or 8 catches for, like, 76 yards, something that's consistent what he does all game, on
so,
the other games.
So I think that it's funny that you went with Humphries and said great minds think alike. I was not going to go with Adam Humphries. I've not even really thought about Adam Humphries like that. But I'm glad to see that's where you are, and it's not taking away anything from me.
Yes, sir.
Now to you, yeah, for defensive pick to click today.
I am going with Landry. And the reason I'm going with Landry is because I know that the Tennessee Titans are going to stop the run game. I definitely think they're going to stop the run game. And the key is how Baker Mayfield plays. And I think Landry, if he can come off the edge wherever they put him on the defense and put some pressure on Baker Mayfield to make him throw some interceptions, I think Landry can be big today. Two sacks, maybe a fumble, but he's going to do something special in this game.
So now you go back to the great minds thinking alike. I wanted to take Harold Landry.
I told you, man.
I did not want to take Adam Humphries. I did want to take Harold Landry. You are going to get all over me for this pick. I already know it. I see it coming. I know you.
Henry.
I know. I have to.
Oh, you can't. Come on, man.
I have to. I can't take A.J. Brown because I took A.J. Brown last week.
Okay.
I can't take A.J. Brown. I'm not taking Jeff Swaim. I'm not taking any of that. I'm going to go with Derrick Henry today. Okay. And the reason I'm going to go with Derrick Henry is because everybody in the ballpark knows Derrick Henry's getting the ball.
Right.
We all know what the Titans want to do. Cleveland knows what the Titans want to do. They want to give Derrick Henry the rock, and they want him to run. And I think the Cleveland Browns are going to try to stop it, and I don't think they can. Baltimore couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop it in the playoffs last year. New England couldn't stop it in the playoffs last year. Indy has never had a 100-yard rusher in the last 3 years except Derrick Henry, who's done it 3 times. Everybody knows he's getting the ball. Everybody knows that he is the key to what the Titans do, and they can't stop him. And I what about the Cleveland Browns defense makes us think that they have any prayer of stopping Derrick Henry today?
But, man, that's the safest pick ever. I mean, you know he's going to get – everybody knows that Henry's going to get over 100-something yards a day. I mean, we know that because that's just the caliber player that he is, man. So that don't count.
And then on the defensive side of the ball, I'm having to come up with one off the top of my head because I wanted to go with Jeffrey Simmons. How about this? You're mad that the Derrick Henry's a safe pick? Tyrre Tart on defense. Because now I know you laugh.
No, he's been playing.
But Tyrre Tart has been playing his butt off. And
he's
the kind of guy who comes up off the practice squad, mm-hmm, plays well a couple of games, gets some more reps, mm-hmm, gets some more game time. And you know how this works because this was how it worked with you.
Yeah.
The more game time you get, the better you play and the reps you get, the more opportunity they're going to give you. Today, I think the Titans, with Simmons ailing with the knee, now he's going to play.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to want to kind of maybe lighten his reps.
Right.
And they're going to want to rotate those guys in and out, knowing that Cleveland's going to want to run the ball. I think we're going to see a lot of Daquan Jones. We're going to see a lot of Jack Crawford. Mm. We're going to see a lot of Tyrre Tart. We're going to see a lot of those big guys moving in and out today to keep Simmons and Co. fresh down the stretch. So I'm going to go with Tyrre Tart because, again, not only that, he's balling.
He is balling, and they trust him. I mean, when you have a coach that trusts a player, they're going to give you more reps and give you more time to develop, but also play in a position to where you help the team. So I agree with you 100%. I wasn't going to take him, but he's been playing big not this whole game, but these last couple of games.
So Henry is – I'm not allowed to take because that's too obvious.
Come on, man. You know that he's definitely going to get 100-something yards. That's a given, man. I could have took him.
I got to figure out how to spell Tyrre Tart's first name.
See, you went to McNeese State, right?
McNeese State.
I don't know how to spell it, man.
I went to Louisville, which is probably just as bad.
Nah, Louisville's a good ball club.
I mean, Tyrre Tart, again, people are probably in their cars. Some people are listening to this thinking, oh, yeah, Tyrre Tart is balling. Other people are listening to this thinking, who is Tyrre Tart? And I'm just telling you, Tyrre Tart is playing some good football. Those are our picks to click, presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Ryan Tannehill has 57 total touchdowns since week 7 of 2019. That is tied for second most in the NFL. Today's game is about the running backs, Chubb and Henry. Everybody's talking Chubb. Everybody's talking Henry. Kareem Hunt. Baker is a very polarizing player. All of those things are true. What about Tannehill today? We haven't talked much about Tannehill today. What about Tannehill today? What do you think Kevin Stefanski wants to do for Tannehill? We know we want the Titans to put the – we want the Browns to be forced to have Baker Mayfield make plays to beat the Titans today. I don't think that it's as comforting if you're the Cleveland Browns.
I agree.
To force Ryan Tannehill to make some plays.
Man, Tannehill's just playing consistent football, and he's protecting the football. If you look at some of the games that they lost, when they lost against the Cincinnati Bengals, it's because he threw a couple of interceptions, but now he's protecting the football and he's making plays. I mean, I'm telling you, when it goes back to when you have a quarterback that's playing with confidence and making plays, and when the game is on the line, you know that he's going to have a drive for them to win the game. With Baker Mayfield, that's still up in the air. I mean, I know his stats are okay this year. He has over 2,100 yards and 17 touchdowns and 17 interceptions, but he's still unknown, because when the pressure's on him, he tends to make interceptions. When the pressure's on him, he tends to make mistakes. But if you have a Tannehill loves the pressure. He turns his, takes his hat off, he goes in the game and say, you know what, I've been in this position before. I've been in there when the game was on the line. When has Baker Mayfield ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
How important will it be today for the Titans to use the other guys on offense? Khalif Raymond, Jeff Swaim, Anthony Firkser. Yes, Adam Humphries returns. Jonnu Smith is out. Davis and Brown have been killing it. But how important are the other guys? And let's not forget Jeremy McNichols and Deontay Foreman at the running back position.
I mean, it's like, you know, being going in the candy store, you pick what candy you want. So if they start to take A.J. Brown out of the game, you have Davis. If they take Davis out of the game, you have Humphries. If they take Humphries out of the game, you got Firkser. If you take Firkser out, you got Henry. So it's just so many guys that the Cleveland Browns have to, you know, to take a point to. So I think the key is whatever guy gets man-to-man coverage, that's the guy that's going to make the play. So I think it's going to be huge for the Tennessee Titans.
Titans and Browns today. What scares you about the Cleveland Browns?
They don't scare me. I just don't want them to come in here and all of a sudden they stop the Tennessee Titans on the first drive, and then all of a sudden they take the drive out, first drive, and they score easily. I don't want this team to gain any confidence. I don't want them to think that they can come in here and win. If the Tennessee Titans hit them in the mouth, stop them on their first drive, score back-to-back-to-back, it takes the confidence out of a team that's trying to play with confidence.
What do you make of all the national pub that's surrounding the Titans right now? I mean, this game is the biggest game of the week. Mm-hmm. I know it's not in a national window, but Philadelphia-Green Bay is not an interesting game. Philadelphia is terrible. The late game tonight, Kansas City versus Denver, that is not an interesting game. Denver is absolutely awful. So there's nothing to be excited about in that regard. So this really is the best game of the week. CBS just started their pregame show today, and it was all about the Titans and the Browns. What do we make of the national attention the Titans are getting? They went to the AFC title game last year. It doesn't feel like they're treating the Titans like a fluke team anymore. And I know you went through this when you played for the Titans. But it does feel like the Titans are getting the respect across the country that they have not gotten in years.
Yeah, but the reason why they haven't been getting respect is because they wasn't respectable. I mean, they wasn't winning the games they're supposed to win. They'll beat a good team, then all of a sudden they'll play a team and they lose. But they're playing good football. They're playing good football on offense. They're playing good football on defense. And if they keep doing that, you're going to get the respect that you want. I remember Byard a couple of years ago saying, why don't we get the respect that we deserve? The reason why is because you don't deserve it. But right now, the reason why the Tennessee Titans are getting respect is because now they deserve it, because they're playing like an elite ball club.
Coming up next, we will have Mike Vrabel's keys to the game, plus our thoughts on just how good the Titans are. We'll touch on that as well. And our game day predictions, who wins and why. Don't go anywhere. It's the pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown. Jared and Chris, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans and Browns today, an hour, a little bit less than an hour away from kickoff today. Chris Sanders, Jared Stillman, we are live at the Corner Pub downtown for the pregame show. Chris, interesting nugget from tonight's Sunday night football game that is infinitely not as interesting as today's Titans and Browns game. But Jay Glazer of Fox reports that the Chiefs had a major scare when they got word at 3:30 this morning that they had 7 positive COVID tests. For the next 5 hours, they did contact tracing. They woke guys up to retest. Hours later, found out that all of them were false positives for Kansas City.
Oh.
So a crazy morning of COVID testing for the Kansas City Chiefs today. But
yeah.
I wonder this. I think the Titans, and today we'll see how they do against the Cleveland Browns. I think the Browns are an okay team. The Browns will go to the playoffs this year. The Browns maybe win a game in the playoffs. Probably not, but they might. But that's a good step for the Cleveland Browns, who have been the laughingstock of the NFL for the last decade. For the Titans, this is a team that went to the AFC title game a year ago, and I kind of feel like Pittsburgh is the best team in the AFC. Kansas City's one of the best teams. Those are the two best teams. How good are the Titans? Are the Titans in the same discussion with the Pittsburghs and the Kansas Cities, or are they lower with Baltimore and Indianapolis and Buffalo and those kind of teams?
I think they're with the top teams. I think they're with Kansas City and Pittsburgh, because if you look at when they played the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, I mean, it came down to the last drive to try to win the game. So, you know, I know if they just cleaned up a couple of things, I know on the special teams they were struggling. If they would have just cleaned that up against the Indianapolis Colts and beat the Indianapolis Colts, I would definitely say that. But, you know, in my opinion, I'm trying not to jump the gun, because I don't want them to say it and all of a sudden they lose to the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that the Tennessee Titans are a contender. And the reason why I say they're a contender is because you got 22 in the backfield, and then you have a quarterback that's playing consistent, and then you have two dogs on the outside with A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. So I definitely think this team is a contender to beat up on Kansas City.
What about Pittsburgh if they were to play in the playoffs?
I think Pittsburgh's in trouble. And the reason why I say they're in trouble is because look at the performance that they had last week against the Baltimore Ravens. They didn't look like the team that they played against the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, and then they lose a couple of key guys. I think his name is Humphreys.
You're talking Bud Dupree.
Dupree. The pass rusher. You lose him. And then now, you know, J.J. Watt's got to carry that defense. So if the Tennessee Titans played them today, I would say the Tennessee Titans 24, the Pittsburgh Steelers 10.
Ooh, that is a hot take from Chris Sanders. Time now for Mike Vrabel's keys to the game for a Titans victory against the Cleveland Browns today. Kareem Hunt is in the backfield along with Nick Chubb. Both have over 700 yards rushing. And Mike Vrabel says they have got to stop the run.
I mean, we are going to have to be excellent, all 11 of us, to be able to set the edge and build a wall in this zone scheme that they love and tackle. You know, we're going to have to swarm. One guy is not going to be enough for Chubb or Hunt. You know, we're going to have to tackle, be extremely great tacklers, and get a lot of hats to the ball.
Chris Sanders, how hard is it going to be to do that? For the Titans.
I think they can. I mean, just like what you said earlier in the show, that when the Tennessee Titans go against an elite back, they tend to stop them. And there's two key things that I want to point out that Mike Vrabel said. He said, number one, we have to build a wall. You have to build a wall to where it makes Chubb or Hunt do something that they're not comfortable with. And then number two, he said this, that the Tennessee Titans have to swarm to the ball. Even though the first guy might miss him, but if you have 8 or 9 hats to the ball and they swarm to the ball, now your Chubb has a cutback, and then somebody can sit there and run through his face.
I wonder if the offensive line for the Browns versus the defensive line of the Titans, I wonder who has the advantage. Because the Browns, Betonio is a pretty good guard.
Yeah.
We know Conklin is good. I wonder how that matchup's going to look today.
It's going to be physical. I mean, you don't have a good running game if you're not physical. Everybody knows that, you know, Conklin's going to be physical, and that offensive line's going to be physical. And I think our defense with Simmons and all those other supporting cast, those guys are going to play physical. So the team that controls the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball is the team that's going to have success in the running and passing game.
That takes us to the second key to the game for Mike Vrabel as the Titans get set to take on the Cleveland Browns. And we all know that Ryan Tannehill has been one of the better quarterbacks in the league inside the red zone. The Titans were fantastic last week in the red zone against Indianapolis, coming away with touchdowns. And Mike Vrabel says the Titans have got to find a way to continue doing that this week inside the red zone.
It's been a strength for us. It's going to have to continue to be a strength against a, you know, a top 10 red zone defense. And so, you know, we put a lot of pressure on our offense to go down there and score touchdowns. But it's going to be a huge challenge against a very good red zone defense this week.
Chris, good red zone defense from the Cleveland Browns. What do we think of the Titans' red zone offense? And it should be noted that one of the big playmakers in that red zone offense is Jonnu Smith, a touchdown maker. He is out today for the Titans.
And the reason why I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be successful is not a specific player, but I think it goes to what Arthur Smith is going to do to put those guys in position. I mean, he keeps teams so off balance when they get in the red zone. I mean, I'm sitting there tripping when I saw Batson doing the Wildcat. I mean, he has so many guys and so many formation and so many guys doing different things. So if Arthur Smith continuously does that, you know, put the ball in Henry's hand to a Wildcat or do a jet sweep to Batson or Humphreys to keep the Browns off balance. But if Arthur Smith can do that, I think the Tennessee Titans can continuously be successful in the red zone.
I wonder how much of this is just the scheming and how much of
it is
Tannehill at the line making an adjustment. And then all of a sudden, everybody thinks the ball's going to Derrick Henry.
Right.
And then next thing you know, oh, there's Foreman out there like they did against Indianapolis to start the game. And then maybe you see a guy like Jeff Swaim score a touchdown or a guy like Anthony Firkser. And that, I do wonder where Firkser and Humphreys are going to come into play today with the loss of Jonnu Smith.
I think they will. But also, too, if you look at how potent the running game is. I mean, just look at last week when Tannehill made a touchdown, when he faked the run to Henry. Look how many Indianapolis Colts were trying to follow Henry. Then all of a sudden, Tannehill runs it in for a touchdown. It's just those things of making you believe something's there, they're not there. But I agree with you, too, that with Humphreys and those guys can be in the red zone and catch those five-yard hitches or those five-yard slants and take the distance and score in the red zone. So, you know, the Titans can be successful in that.
Finally, the last key for Mike Vrabel, as far as the Titans are concerned, is special teams. Now, we have yelled and kicked and screamed and cried about the Titans' special teams this year. Last 2 weeks have not been that bad. Mm-hmm. As I explained to TD, I still think Craig Aukerman, the special teams coach, well, he's got to go. But special teams today getting field position for the Titans. This is
well,
what Mike
Vrabel. I think they really took it to heart last week about winning one-on-one matchups and creating field position. We talked about that last week, and we were able to start drives on our 36-yard line. They started it on their 20, and that 16 yards every time we change possession is going to be something that's going to help us win football games. So trying to show those guys that and see if that can carry over.
Chris, how yes. big do you think the field position and special teams will be?
I think it's going to be huge, and I'm going to give you an example of what happened last year when Kern kicked like a 60-yard bomb, and it put the Cleveland Browns on the minus two. And then all of a sudden you get a sack and you get a safety. It changes the whole momentum of the game. So that's why special teams are so important, because if you look at Baker Mayfield, he wants to make the big play. You know, Kareem Hunt and Chubb want to make the big play. But when you have to earn it, when you have to go 98 yards and try to be consistent all the way through, that's where they struggle. So that's why special teams are so important, and it starts with Kern and also starts with the field goal.
Time for us to take a look at our game day predictions. Oh. Chris Anders took the Colts last week. I did not tell you to take the Colts. I told you with DeNico Autry out and with DeForest Buckner out, I felt very comfortable in Derrick Henry being able to run the ball. I'm sorry to the Colt fans that are here out at the corner pub downtown. I did not take the Colts. I took the Titans and feel good about that decision. But it is time now for us to make our game day picks. So, Chris Anders, we start with you. Who wins today? And why?
I'm going to go out on a limb and do this. I don't think it's going to be close. I think the Tennessee Titans 35. I think the Cleveland Browns 10.
Ooh.
And the reason why, I just think that we're just
25-point blowout for Chris Sanders.
I understand that the Cleveland Browns got a good running game, but I think we're going to bottle them up and make Baker Mayfield try to win the game, and I don't think he's capable of doing that. I just think that we're a better team all around. I say 35-10 Tennessee Titans.
You know, usually it's me who picks the blowouts, and you and Floyd – usually want to keep it close. I'm going to go Titans 31-20. I think the Titans definitely hit the 30-point mark. I feel very confident in that. The question is, how much is the defense going to hold up today? Mm-hmm. I still think Hunt and Chubb, they're going to get a little bit, but it's going to be more because the Titans are playing with a lead and they'll back off the run a little bit.
Right.
I think Landry will have a nice day. But ultimately, I think the Titans are just too good for the Cleveland Browns. I the Ravens, and I know the game went to overtime. The Titans and the Ravens, in my opinion, are about on equal footing. The Colts, I think the Titans and the Colts are about on equal footing.
Yeah.
I don't think the Titans and the Browns are on equal footing. I do not think the Browns are at the same level that the Titans are at. So I'm going to go with the Titans in this one by a final score of 31-20. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We will be back next week live from one of the Three Corner Pub locations at 9:30 to get you set for the Titans, as we always do on Sundays. This has been the Pregame Show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.